We'll rock into the rain report for the week of November 21st, 2008 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Rain Report, the weekly audio production of Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, produced by Hap Holly, KC9RP. I'm Scott Childers, W9CHI, a former Rain script reader. Books written by ham radio operators are not terribly unusual. There's a new one, however, that is, due to its focus and baby boomer appeal. It's called WLS Radio Chicago, 1924 to 2007. Even if you didn't grow up in the Midwest listening to WLS Radio out of Chicago, its history is a colorful and significant one due to its groundbreaking innovations that changed radio as we heard it growing up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. For what he admits are for purely selfish reasons, Hap has dedicated the next 2 weeks to taking a look at the history of WLS Radio. Not ham-related, you say? You'd be surprised. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, recently spoke with the book's author, Scott Childers. Hey, that's me. Here's part one of Rain's WLS retrospective.
Well, my background, first of all, as a ham radio operator, I've been licensed since I was 14, so that takes you back to the mid-70s. My original call sign was WD9FXP, and my father and I came out of the CB era, and that was at the time when Convoy and everything was big, and CB pretty much became useless, and a friend of ours was a ham radio operator, and he exposed us to 2-meter FM, and we went, whoa, that's a lot different. So I was licensed back in 77 and have been licensed ever since, changed my call sign, I don't know, a few years ago to W9CHI after much consternation about changing it. And I've been in the broadcast business for about the past 20 years as well. I've always had an interest as far as doing radio and how the industry works. So that always piqued my interest. And one of the reasons was growing up here in Chicago and being able to listen to WLS, which was obviously the giant here in Chicago and throughout the Midwest at the time. And after I realized that a career in architecture was not going to go anywhere because my math skills were not very good, I realized I better give radio a try. And since I had already been initiated in the two-way communication, I figured the broadcasting wouldn't be too far behind. So that's how I got started and have worked here in Chicago for just about 20 years now, doing everything from music format as a disc jockey, which I still do today, Star 96.7. Here in the Chicago suburbs, and have also worked traffic for many stations, television and radio, including WLS, where I did news and traffic back in the mid-90s during the Rush Limbaugh show and Dr. Laura during the middle of the day, and have spent quite a few hours at the station working as a historian. The background on that is that having such a interest in the station, when the World Wide Web just got going, I thought this would be a perfect venue to maybe showcase some of the things I had, and it kind of grew from there. And as the website took off, which was put up back in 1998, so it's been 10 years since the WLSHistory.com website went up, it's gained more and more weight among people that have worked at the station, people that work there now. And it was really the reason that I thought I wanted to do the book, because up to this point, nobody had really done anything as far as that was concerned. And for me, it was a learning experience because I knew everything from the rock and roll era from the 70s, listening to John Records' Landecker and Bob Surratt and Fred Winston and Larry Lujack. But I didn't know too much about what went on at the station prior to the rock and roll era. Now, the station came on the air in 1924, and it was owned by Sears. Sears put it on the air as an extension of their Farm Service Bureau. And initially, what they wanted to do was service the farmer. They weren't so concerned about selling advertising at that point. They wanted to really service the farmer because, of course, Sears in those days was huge into catalog sales, and there was no internet, and most of the farmers got their catalog once, twice, three times a year. So they figured if we could build goodwill with the farmer, they would certainly be a good customer for Sears. And they weren't trying to pull the wool over their eyes. They did it in good faith because the Agricultural Foundation spent a lot of time as a public service to the farmer and making sure they had everything they needed. And it was a really interesting outgrowth of using this new medium to not just talk to the farmer, but also use it as a tool to help them. And it was actually very smart. So when they signed the station on, it was only 500 watts back in 1924. And they owned the station only for a little while. They only owned it for 4 years because, first of all, they weren't broadcasters. And secondly, they found that it was very difficult for them to deal with competing stations because they own their own station. So they realized it might be time for them to get out of the broadcasting business. So they sold the station to Prairie Farmer Publishing, which is based in Chicago as well, which also had an enormous effect on the farmer because they were the main voice to and from the farmer and are still in operation today. And the owner of the publishing company, Burrage Butler, was a big fan of WLS, and they actually had some programs that they had aired on the station.
You're listening to a two-part Rain special, spotlighting the history of Chicago's Big 89, WLS Radio, with me, Scott Childers, W9CHI. I'll continue my babbling about my favorite radio station while growing up in just a moment. This is the Rain Report, available as a weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com and via cell phone from 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. Thanks to Uddle Systems. This is the Rain Report.
Once they bought the station in 1928, that was really the time when the station became bigger than life, because the Prairie Farmer was so well known throughout the Midwest, and the station provided a vehicle not only for the Prairie Farmer, but for the National Barn Dance, which started several years earlier. It actually started in 1924 as well. But at this point, they had the promotional muscle behind them, and as the popularity continued, that's really what propelled the station. So when you look back at the National Barn Dance era, several big stars came out of there. Of course, Gene Autry and Pat Buttram, who many will remember as Mr. Haney on Green Acres. He had quite a career as a comedian in the early days on radio, and then ended up going into movies with the help of Gene Autry after that. And another one would be George Gobel, another big comedian. I certainly remember seeing him on the Hollywood Squares. He was from Chicago, and he actually started on the station when he was 13, 14 years old. His mom had to drive him to the radio station, which was located on West Washington. They were co-located with the Prairie Farmer paper at that point. And she picked him up at night after he had finished off. No child labor laws in those days. But he came in and performed and played guitar as well. And there's so many others. You can go through Lulu Bell and Scotty and Jenny Lou Carson. Later on in the 40s and 50s, Andy Williams and his brothers appeared on WLS when he was just a young child, as well as Patti Page and Red Foley. And the station did very, very well with the live broadcasts on Saturday night and the live broadcasts during the week until you got into the 50s, where it really got to be cost prohibitive and records really started to replace the live broadcasts. And of course, that was everywhere because television took over and a lot of radio strength was taken away back in the 50s, or when things started to change. And at that point, too, from a technical standpoint, the station's original frequency was 870. That's where they were, 344 meters, by the way. And in 1941 is when a lot of the stations shifted, and they moved to 890. But at the same time, they shared their broadcast day with another radio station in Chicago, which was WENR. And WENR was more geared toward an urban audience. They were more of a highbrow radio station. So can you imagine listening to this frequency or having your radio tune? At one time, you're going to hear this classical piece, and then you tune in another time during the day, and you'll either hear hog markets, or you'll hear some homespun comedy, or some music that comes from down on the farm. So it was quite a dichotomy between the two. But WENR was owned by NBC, but it was their blue outlet here in Chicago. WMAQ was the red. And when they were given the mandate to divest the blue network, the station became an ABC affiliate. And soon after that point, ABC had some part ownership in WLS, and they ended up forming the two stations together, so that by the middle of the 50s, it was one station all the time with one set of call letters rather than two stations with two formats. And eventually, in 1960, is when the station flipped to the rock and roll format. May 2nd, 1960 was the day. ABC officials already knew at this point that they wanted to change the station. They had already done it with several other of their owned and operated stations across the country, and they knew that this was going to be the way to go. And with a 50,000-watt clear channel signal, they knew that they could make quite an impact. So they brought in Sam Holman, who came to town, who was later very instrumental at WABC. And he brought in seven new disc jockeys who hit the streets beforehand and were ready to go on that morning of May 2nd when they flipped the format. And initially, the station took a little time to finally get its footing. As I've talked to a few people that I know that have worked there in the early years, they said that some of the police radios actually had more listeners than WLS had in those early years. But once it did take effect, it certainly took off, and a lot of the success can be attributed to Dick Biondi, who worked 9 to midnight at night and would pull in around a 60 share, which today would be unheard of.
And that concludes part one of a two-part retrospective on Chicago's Big 89 WLS Radio, featuring yours truly, author of WLS Radio Chicago, 1924 to 2007. I'll continue my waxing philosophical about WLS and its place in radio history next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 to 2008 Rain. All rights reserved. See you next week. I'm Scott Childers, W9CHI.